Well, good morning. So the last time I was here, I had goats. No goats today. Yeah. So I was talking to one of the kids earlier, and he said, oh, is it different in there? And I was like, well, we sing, we read scripture, we learn from the Bible, but one thing will be different. No one is going to ask me permission to go to the bathroom or get a drink from the water fountain. You are on your own, right? That's what happened. Boy, it's like... That's what happens over there, guys. Kids ask us if they have permission to leave the room. Well, I'm so happy that you're here. We are in week three of our series of Elijah. And maybe you are like me, you missed a week because of vacation, or maybe you were serving. So I want to take just a moment to catch you up to speed where Dustin and Pastor Don led us the last couple of weeks. The Israelites, God's chosen people, are doing their thing, their own thing. And their actions haven't been very honoring to God. There's been a drought for about 3 years. And as you can imagine, famine is now widespread in their area. They're dirty, they're hungry, probably moody. I don't know about you, but sometimes when this humidity hits in it, I get a little moody, right? And they are for sure waiting for rain. Now, maybe if you remember back in June, we went for a few weeks without rain. Now, I use a rain barrel in my backyard, and I had to get the water hose out. I was like all frustrated. First world problems, right? But I was frustrated because it was switching up with my routine. But I'm sure for these people, for 3 years, they were living without rain and without that provision. And all at the same time, God was providing for Elijah. Last week, Pastor Don was talking about how God was showing up for him in really miraculous ways, providing shelter, providing sustenance for him. Because God was continuing to show up for Elijah because Elijah was continuing to show up for God. He was meeting with him. He was spending time with him. But now was the time that God was calling Elijah back home. He was calling him back home to deal with this whole thing with the Israelites. And the first thing on his agenda was to go talk to King Ahab. Again. So my background is teaching. And so what I thought we would do today, if it's all right with all of you, is we're going to read this chapter, 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to do like a little deep dive into it and really understand. Now, sometimes I read over scripture and I think, well, yeah, that's what they did, or why'd they do that? But today we're going to take some time to sort of like rip it apart and get a real understanding. So I just want to open up with prayer, and I want to follow up with what Daniel said. Man, if we can take a posture of, God, what can you teach me in this chapter today? I think we can really leave with a new insight and a new understanding of what Elijah was being called to do, to stand out with purpose and with boldness. So Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this man, this humble man, Elijah, who took a stand for you. He took a stand for you in a world that was full of compromise at the time. And so, Lord, I pray that as we read these scriptures, you would challenge us to do the same thing, to stand for you in a culture that is filled with compromise. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us today. May we leave this place changed because of your word and your insight. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. All right, so we're gonna start off in verse 16, but first I wanna lay the groundwork for where we're at. There was a guy named Obadiah, and Obadiah was a follower of Jesus. He was devout to him, but he was also a member of the king's household, so for him, it was a little risky. And all at the same time, Jezebel, we know her, she was killing off the Lord's prophets. So Obadiah decided to take a stand for it, and he started hiding some of these prophets in caves. And while he was doing that, while this famine was widespread in his area, he was feeding these prophets and he was providing sustenance for them as they were hidden in these caves. It was being risky. And now Obadiah and the king go together to begin searching the land because the king wanted water for his horses. That was his priority. And so out they go. And in this time, Obadiah comes across Elijah and they meet up. And he recognizes Elijah right away. And Elijah says, hey, I have a job for you. I want you to set up a meeting with the king. So here we go in verse 16. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come. And Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, so is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers. You have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshiped images of Baal instead. Now, summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and he said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him." But the people were completely silent. I think that's interesting. Elijah here takes this bold move in front of all of Israel, all of these prophets, right, and the king, and he's the only voice that speaks up, right? Nobody. He was like, pick a side. Pick a side. Because allegiance to two things is no allegiance at all, right? Webster's defines allegiance as devotion and loyalty, but you can't do that to two things. Can you be like a devout allegiant to the Pirates and the Phillies at the same time? No, right? Pick a side. I'm not a sports fan, but here you go, guys. Elijah was calling them out on it. He was like, listen, you can't keep bouncing back and forth. If God is God, then follow him. And if it's Baal, go that way. Have at it. But today's the day of decision. Where does your allegiance lie? Jesus said something similar to the Pharisees in the book of Matthew in 12:30. It says, whoever is not with me is against me. He's like, are you with me or not? Elijah was laying out an opportunity for them to recommit themselves to the one true God. The God who loves us enough to want a relationship with us. The God who loves us enough, in Psalm 16, it says, who leans his ear down to hear you. Man, I'm so grateful for that. Because sometimes my voice to him is quiet. It's in here. But scripture says he leans down because he values me that much, because I am his creation. He wants to hear what's going on in my heart and he wants to hear it. But these people were silent. I'm sure Elijah was really surprised. I mean, I would have expected an argument, a whine, some kind of pushback, but he didn't get anything, not a peep. But no response is a response. No response is a response. Their silence was saying, we don't care. What you're saying is really unimportant to us. It has no impact. I don't really want to do what you're saying, so I'm just going to ignore you. That's what they did. What the Israelites were so focused on what they wanted at the time, and that was water. But what they were forgetting about is what they really, really needed, God knew, and it was him. What they really needed was the presence of the Lord. But they were so focused on their want that they were missing out on what the need was. So Elijah decides he's gonna roll out this little competition. And that's where we're gonna pick it up in verse 22. It says, then Elijah said to them, I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left. Remember, Jezebel is killing him off. But Baal has 450 prophets. Now, bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish to cut into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And all of the people agreed. So then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first, for there are many of you. He's like, man, there's a whole crowd of you and just me. So go ahead and choose a bull, prepare it, and call on the name of your God, but don't set fire to the wood. So when I was studying this, I was thinking, well, why would Elijah do that? I mean, honestly, ego would have been like, all right, God, like, let's show up right now in front of all these people and let's put them in their place. Like, bam. But Elijah didn't do that because he wanted to follow what God's plan was. This was all being orchestrated by the Father. So he didn't do that. Elijah allowed the prophets of Baal to go first because his faith was big. Sometimes we do things on our own, with our own gifts and our own talents, and we just move without asking the Spirit what to do. Elijah didn't do that. He knew what to do. I'm sure he knew how to rebuild the altar, but he wanted to follow what God's plan was. When he was standing there outnumbered, we know that, right? It was all of Israel. It was all these prophets. He didn't waver. He didn't waver to the social pressures that he was facing. He didn't waver to insecurity. No hesitation to face this opposition that was standing there, this huge crowd. I don't know about you, but I might have felt a little intimidated. But when we know that God is with us, I mean, really, deep down in the core of who we are, that God is with us, we don't have to be insecure in who we are in Christ. We don't have to be insecure about the circumstances or the environments that we walk in if we know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is with us. That's what Elijah did that day. He stood so firm and so confident, and we can do that too because we know that God has got our back. We see it so many times in scripture, just a few. David faced Goliath. I'm short. I'd be like, Dustin, whoa. Right? Like, hey, maybe it was Esther facing the king. You know, back then, women didn't have the right, no one had the right to enter that king's throne in that area without permission. But she was sent by God with a mission. Or Joseph facing family. Maybe some of us have to do that with our family, stand bold in front of them with the word. It's hard. It's hard. But Elijah did it because he knew that his great God was with him. And we can live that out today with confidence. Verse 26, let's keep going. So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. And then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, "Oh, Baal, answer us." But there was no reply of any kind. They danced, hobbling around the altar that they had made. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. "Y'all shout louder," he scoffed, "for surely he's a god. Perhaps he's daydreaming or relieving himself." Oh, we're talking about peeing in church, right? Or twice I did now. Wow, what's going on? "Or maybe he's away on a trip or he's asleep," right? He needs to be awakened. It's like a little sportsman's taunt there. So they said, "Shout louder." Following their normal customs, they cut themselves with knives and swords until blood was gushing out. Wow. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still there was no sound, no reply, no response. What a parallel there. The prophets of Baal were given this opportunity to show up with their god, little g, to show how great he was. Man, they had all these people standing there watching. They were dancing around. They were slashing themselves. All these antics. And still they got nothing. It was like full court press there to get God to pay attention to them. And I can imagine it must have been pretty chaotic. Frantic. Bloody, for sure. And still, they got nothing. No response. All that effort for nothing. They gained nothing. And I can think about this scene and I can think, wow, they must have left exhausted, depleted, wounded, trying to get God's attention. It doesn't sound like my God, right? But I think if we're honest, we might do the same thing sometimes. We spend time investing our lives in the things to get noticed, to be filled. Maybe it's unbalanced time on social media. Maybe it's an unhealthy relationship. Maybe it's mixed priorities with your checkbook and your finances. Maybe look at your statement sometimes and see where you're investing your money. You might be surprised. All those charges of Starbucks, right? Hey, I love having coffee with friends and doing that stuff, but it's unbalanced. When things are unbalanced, that's the key. I might not have a big Baal in my life that I'm bowing down to, but there are things of compromise that happen. And they happen in the little things. And before you know it, it becomes pretty big. They weren't doing things that were refreshing their soul and that were restoring who they were and who they were called to be, like spending time with God would. Verse 30. And then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." And they all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel. And he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. And then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled the wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. And then he said, fill four large jars with water. Pour the water over the offering and the wood. After they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they were finished, he said, now, do it a third time. They did as he had said, and the water ran around the altar, and it filled the trench. At the usual time of offering, for the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all of this at your command. He's like, not my plan. This has been God's plan. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven. It burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust, and it even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, the Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. God responded, man, like that. I mean, like immediately. Not hours, right? Now, in this situation, God did respond immediately. Sometimes it doesn't always happen, right? But there's three ways that we can stand firm in our allegiance to God in a culture of compromise. And the first one is to be purposeful. Our lives are busy, and yet we're purposeful to make time to have lunch with friends or coffee, which is mine, right? We plan for our kids' education. We plan for vacation. We plan for retirement. Whatever season of life that you're in. But often God gets what's left of my day or the week, right? That's not what he wants. God doesn't want the leftovers of our day. Does God get the leftover of your time, of your gifts and talents? Are you investing those things in purposeful ways to further the kingdom? When Elijah rebuilt this altar for the Israelites that they had allowed go to ruin, he was purposeful in all of his actions. Verse 30 says, he called them over to watch. He was like, guys, come over here. I want you to see what I'm doing. In verse 31, he used 12 stones. That was on purpose. Elijah was recounting their history one stone at a time, right? Each of those stones, he was reclaiming God's purposes. He was reminding them of the covenant that God had with them. He was bringing the past to the present and was saying, remember, remember? All the stories they had heard from their ancestors, I'm sure. In verse 30, it says, he dug the trench and asked others to saturate it with water. That was on purpose, right? He wanted them a part of this process. About 6 years ago, I began the journey of foster care and in foster parenting, and that was purposeful. There were a lot of steps I had to take in my heart, in my home, in my job to think about, how's this gonna work, God? But if this is what you're calling me to do, I need to take some action and I need to take some steps to make this happen. One of the things was with every kiddo that came into my home, whether it was for respite care or for foster care for that season that they were there, man, you have to have your heart ready. Sometimes you think the welcome is hard. It's the goodbye. That's hard. Trusting God for the plan, right? I am not a morning person, I'm a night person. So with each kiddo, I had to realign like, well, when am I gonna spend time with the Lord? Because it used to be in the evenings, I like to do that. But with teenagers in the house, that sort of shifts things. So last fall, when the school year started in August, my new time became 5:45 a.m. Guys, that is rough. It is rough, it is still rough. I am not a morning person still, a year later. But the best version of me, the best version of Allison is one that gets sleep and spends time with God. So I had to realign my evenings. I have to make sure I've got things ready that I can be up, ready to spend time with God between, gotta feed the dog, gotta let the dog, all the things. But I had to be purposeful about my plan because I wanted it to stay a priority. Because my family, my friends, my coworkers, they get the best version of who I am when I've spent time with God. And that's the same for you, the best version. Parenting is hard, right? No matter what stage you're in, single parenting, it's hard. Every season of life that we're in, God is providing you an opportunity to figure out how you can realign your day to be purposeful to spend time with him. The second one is to be bold. Elijah was bold. He took a step away from the crowd. There's three words that come up in verse 36, and it says, he walked up. He walked up. So wherever he wasn't there already, because he had to step away from the group and walk up. Sometimes we're going to have to be bold and step away from the crowd. That's hard, right? As Christians, as God's people today, he's calling us to step away from the crowd and to stand for God's word and to stand for biblical truth. In a culture today, people are bending biblical truth to fit their agenda. It's no longer biblical truth when you bend it, right? We see people who've been following after the Lord, and all of a sudden we're questioning what they're saying, and does that really align with God's word? We live in a culture of compromise. It's going to take boldness on our part to step out from the crowd, whether it's at work, in social situations, at our kids' sports events, in the car, with coworkers. I'm growing in my boldness too. I think some people think like, wow, you're super extroverted. I am in seasons and with certain people. But over the last 13 years, I've had the privilege of gaining a great rapport with my neighbors. I live in Lancaster City, and I've been super intentional about building friendships with my neighbors. But there have been times that it's been hard to step away from the crowd. It feels easier just to blend in with them. But that's not what God is calling me to do or who he's calling me to be. So there are times, and I'm sure you've been in certain social situations where joking starts happening. You're like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And then all of a sudden it takes a turn and you're no longer comfortable. And now it's like, well, now what? That's the moment, guys, right there. That's the moment. And I think over like the last 8 to 10 years, as I have stepped out and I have said things, or I have said like, ugh, like, you know, whoa, you know, verbally out loud, things had shifted with our friendship and who we are. Sometimes I'm not invited to everything. That's okay, because I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it anyway. But they still know that Allison is caring. She is a good neighbor. She's funny. They like me. But they also know that I love Jesus. They know that. And it's okay that I don't get invited to things, because I think they know I would be uncomfortable and I wouldn't want to be there anyway. And it's just, we just can avoid the whole situation. But that takes time. And it also shows me that they respect who I am, even though I've stood up and stood out against what they want to do. We're still friends. We can be bold and do those things in our lives. Sometimes I have chosen silence, but I have seen the reward of stepping up and standing out. James 4:17 in NLT says this, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Ouch. It's sin for me to know what I should do. It's sin for us as God's people to know what we should do and then we not do it. Doesn't mean we can't change. It doesn't mean that this afternoon we can't make a better decision. At all ages, we face social pressures that try to push us to waver in our allegiance. Our kids do at school. We do at work. We do in social situations. We all do. Let's not be wishy-washy. Allegiance is to one, and that's God, right? He's calling each of us higher. He's calling each of us to be bold for him. That's what demonstrates who he is in a culture of compromise. When you're purposeful with your choices, when you're bold in taking steps, that's what wins people to the kingdom of God, when we stand bold. Elijah was bold. He was ready because he knew that God was with him, and we can do it with that same confidence. The third way that we can stand firm in our allegiance is to be a person of prayer. I couldn't be purposeful or bold without prayer. We need that. Our allegiance to God develops in our prayer time. Prayer is the way that God's power comes to us in our lives. It brings fresh fire down. It gives us an opportunity to sort of set the record straight and ask for forgiveness. Elijah said a really simple prayer in verse 36. It wasn't filled with fancy words, right? He didn't have any like amazing thing to say. He had a relationship with God. They had spent time together. He sat at his feet and listened and spoke, and they shared just like a friendship. Because maybe you're thinking like, I don't even know how to pray. This prayer thing is new to me. Maybe you're a seasoned person. You're the exact one that someone who's new at learning to prayer needs. We can mentor people on how to learn to walk in their relationship with God. But prayer does not need to be perfectly put together sentences. It's us talking. It's us listening, right? We're telling him how we feel. We're telling him what's been tough with our day and with our kids and with our coworkers. Sorry, I work here, right? We're making requests known to him, right? And we're thanking him and we're listening. That's what prayer is all about. Elijah didn't need to slash himself. He didn't need to pull out some sword and have gushing blood to get God's attention. On Mount Carmel that day, it was just a simple prayer. Verse 38 says, immediately the skies of heaven opened up and God poured out his power. That's amazing. Our prayer time is what makes us different from those around us in the world. We have the opportunity to connect with God, to be refreshed, to be filled with his power, to go about what he has us to do here on earth. When we spend time in his presence, others will see that. They'll see that in our countenance. They'll see that in how we treat other people. They'll see that in our attitude, all of those things. The Israelites wanted rain, but God knew what they needed. Fire, just the opposite. What they wanted was rain, and God's like, this is what you need, my presence. He gave them fire, and then came the rain, right? This is how we can influence the culture around us today and build the kingdom, is to walk with purpose, to be purposeful in our actions and how we spend our time, how we invest in the community, how we invest in the local church, and to be a person of prayer. It's not going to be easy to be purposeful, to get up at 5:45. It's hard, right? It's gonna be hard to be bold. I think about our kids who are heading back to school. We, as a local church, have the opportunity to just impart in our kids how to stand firm, to how to take bold steps, to be purposeful in the friends that we make and who we're spending our time with, right? Preparation just doesn't happen by showing up on a Sunday morning or by watching online. Preparation happens in our individual time spent with the Lord, right? Church, coming to church is meaningful and it is important, but spending time every day in the presence of the Lord, that's where it's at. We need to be purposeful. We need to be bold. And as we spend time in prayer, we can do those things. As we've been looking at this chapter, 1 Kings 18 today, I hope that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. Are you being wishy-washy in any area of your life? Are you fully aligned? Maybe it's not this big bail, but maybe it's in little things. Maybe you haven't been purposeful in investing your time. Maybe you've been wavering in your allegiance in some way. I want to challenge you. Today's the day of decision. Today's the day that you're saying, I completely align and show my allegiance to the one true God. Is God calling you to be more purposeful, to be bold, to be a person of prayer? If the Lord is speaking to you in any one of these ways, we really want to pray with you today. We want you to be like Elijah and to take a bold step away from the crowd and step towards the altar. We're gonna have an opportunity to sing a final song. And as the worship team comes and our prayer team comes to serve you, if you're on the prayer team and you wanna step forward, be ready to serve. If that's you, and any of those things align with you, and you're saying, man, I am sold out. I wanna be full court press for God, the one true God, and serve him today, I invite you to come forward while we're singing this song. And I'm gonna pray with us now. God, thank you so much for this story of Elijah. Man, he was just this human who wanted to honor you and serve you, God. But what a bold message he has for us today. Lord, we do live in a culture full of compromise, but our heart is to not be that way for you. We want to be sold out, fully aligned, show our allegiance to you. So Lord, if there is something in our heart today that we need to set aside, to lay down at your feet and say, man, I don't want to be wishy-washy. God, I want you to know that I serve you wholeheartedly with every part of my day. You would help us to do that, Lord. Give us the power. Give us the boldness to make it happen, Lord. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Amen.